We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show, we're back on the air. We are glad you are on board today. If you want to chime in, feel free. You can find us over on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. You can follow us on Facebook at The Bill Michaels Show over on Facebook. That's The Bill Michaels Show on Facebook. You can track us down we'll track Joe down on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. You can find us over on the Radio.com Sports app. If you want to download that, take us everywhere you go. We always appreciate it. Or just find us everything. Find everything on the website. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com. So we got into the discussion earlier today about this Milwaukee Brewers lineup. And you continue to hear. By the way, speaking of the Brewers, news today, Craig Counsell saying to the covering reporters this morning that Jimmy Nelson continues to progress. He is going to go, how do they put this? He's going to go through another session in which he's got a bullpen session, and before pitching in a game, he's actually going to throw extra sessions to actual hitters. He's going to go one extra session than the other pitchers just to make sure that he's ready to go, and then he's going to be in games just like everybody else. But he continues to make progress in the bullpen, and they said he looks really good. So really good in a bullpen versus really good on the hill, we'll have to wait and see. But right now, everything is progressing in a very good way. So that's the best news of all, that right now, Jimmy Nelson, hold your breath, is progressing in a very good way. So we'll see what happens. But keep your fingers crossed. So if you go back and you start to look at this thing, and we were talking about this earlier today, when you look at the starting lineup, if you will, the top 1 through 8, how good is this when you stack it up to maybe some of the other teams in Brewers history? You know, certainly the first place you go is to the 82 team, and I think the 82 team might have been, with the amount of Hall. Now, you could say that, say, Ryan Braun could end up having the type of numbers that would put him in the Hall of Fame. We'll have to wait and see what the remainder of his career brings. But because of the gummy incident, it's going to be very tough for him to get past those that guard the Hall so sacredly. But certainly Christian Yelich, at 27 years old, has put together a stellar career. You could have two guys that could have those kind of numbers leading your team. Lorenzo Cain is certainly a tremendous leadoff hitter and has the experience. Jesus Aguilar provides the pop. Travis Shaw, whether he plays second or third, if he can bounce back from a little bit of a subpar year last year, get back to somewhat of the numbers that he had the year prior, boy, you're talking about a stellar lineup. Then you throw in Moustakas and his power, Yasmani Grandal and what he brings to the table, and even Orlando Arcia, if he can somewhat pick up where he left off last year. Now, I'm not saying Arcia has to hit 300, okay? I'm not saying that. But if he can get up to about 260, 270, you're talking about who's your weakest link in this lineup. And then you throw into the mix that Chacin pitched pretty well. He had a rough start to the season last year, the first maybe week or two, and after that he was pretty stellar. Chase Anderson, who only a couple of years ago was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball for a period of time, for about a month, month and a half. And if he can keep the ball in the ballpark, you're good to go. Zach Davies, Brandon Woodruff, and then you've got Jimmy Nelson. And if he continues, now Jimmy Nelson, remember, they're not giving up on him. He's only 29 years old. So right now, this year, next year, and the year after, those are kind of the peaks of his career. He's just trying to come back from an injury from last season, or really a season and a half ago. But if you can get Jimmy Nelson to look a little of what he was like before he went down with the injury, man, just get to the seventh. Hader, Jeffress, Knable. Corey Knable's got to pitch better than what he did at the end of the season last year. So does Jeremy Jeffress. Jeffress had a stellar year. He was one of the guys that got you there. And then come the postseason, he was more missed than hit, we'll say. So I think this group is ready to go. I really do. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousins Subs. Don't forget, not only is Cousins good, but the cater, which is tremendous. If you got a big sales meeting coming up, you got a big outing coming up, got a bunch of kids coming to the house, you're going to have a big event coming on, something that you're going to be doing for, say, a charity event, whatever it may be, Cousins caters, in case you didn't know. They cater everything from the subs, sandwiches, chips, soups, salads. They've got it all over at Cousins Subs. Just go to CousinsSubs.com. That's CousinsSubs.com and see for yourself everything that Cousins can do for you. Take the stress off of yourself. Make it a great day. Make it a Cousins Subs kind of day where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. How good is this team? I don't want to get into the prediction for wins because there's a lot of people that are giving me wins right now. Matt says they're going to be a 91-win team. Also, Todd says, I believe they're going to be a 93-win team. James says, a 93-win team, but how many wins do you think it takes to win the division? 95-96 last year when you're battling with the Cubs. I think this year it's going to be a little bit less, maybe a 92-win season. Get you the win, and then you go from there. I don't really... I said maybe 92, but I'm still banking on 90, give or take two or three games in either direction. But I'm not, I don't know, it's tough to say the games.
I'm not getting into win totals.
I don't want to get into win totals.
Until the day before opening day. Because a lot can happen in a month. There could be injuries. There could be weird things that happen. Maybe the Brewers sign another player or trade for another player. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of things that could change here in the next month.
Yep. No, I agree. I mean, as it stands, yeah, you know what? Okay, if that's the way you want to go. But I'm looking at it as more of how strong is this lineup? And I guess win totals is an indicator as to how strong the lineup actually is. Okay, I can buy that. But I think this is a really strong lineup. I think this is a lineup. I said this before. I don't think this is a lineup that's going to have a letdown anywhere in the lineup that's going to prolong an extended slump for this team offensively. I think, you know, you can have a game where maybe they get blanked or maybe they only score one run, but I don't think you're going to have a series or two back-to-back-to-back-to-back games in which you're only going to score maybe a total of four runs in seven games or something like that. I don't see that happening. Just because this team has so much offensive firepower. You know, I mean, even coming off the bench, you've got some pretty good firepower. Manny Pena, you know, if he goes back to what he was a couple of years ago and the fact that he's going to be scrapping for a job, he's going to want to, you know, play better. I mean, obviously Eric Thames can give you some pop, but he's got to give you more consistency in the plate. Hernan Perez has always been a tremendous, pinch hitter in that regard and can play numerous positions, both infield and outfield. So I'm excited. Ben Gamble, the guy they got from Seattle, he's another guy, a lefty coming off the bench, only 26 years old. He's just kind of coming into his own. I think offensively speaking, this is going to be a really, really good baseball team.
One of the, when I put this question out on social media this morning, I just took Adam McKelvey's projected lineup, which, you know, just includes these guys 1 through 8. But McKelvey had Ryan Braun batting third in the lineup. So when I put it on social media right away, people started debating where Ryan Braun should be batting in the lineup. So I did some digging, and I looked at Braun's splits from last season, batting in the third hole and then in the fifth hole, and it turns out that Ryan Braun did much better batting fifth than he did batting third. Yep. And if you look at the numbers, batting third last year, he had 6 home runs, 23 RBIs. His strikeout percentage was 23%. He batted .217, and his splits were .269, .386, .655 OPS. If you look at him batting fifth in the lineup, and this was a difference of 60 at-bats, Braun, 6 home runs, 16 RBIs. His strikeout percentage was at 18.3 compared to 23.1. He was batting .293, and his splits were .339, .509, and an .847 OPS. So if I'm just going by that alone, and Ryan Braun is trying to make some adjustments to his swing this season, I think I'd like to bat Ryan Braun there and not bat him third.
Mm-hmm. I'd bat him fifth. I think when he bats third, there comes with this innate pressure. I mean, he's not the same hitter he was when he was batting third in front of Prince. You know, you don't have that big, ginormous threat. Now, he may end up hitting better if, say, Aguilar just begins to just rip the cover off the ball. He takes another step forward, and you end up batting him fourth. But, I mean, as of right now, going back to last year, they were batting, what, Travis Shaw fourth at times last year. Maybe Moose really picks up his offensive output. And, I mean, last year, remember, Moustakas gave you 8 home runs in how many games? 54 games, I think, is what he played. 54 games, hit .256. But yeah, Braun, I think he's less pressure batting fifth, even though last year, look at Ryan Braun first game of the season, because he did not have a game-winning hit in a flair for the dramatic at all the season prior. He had 3 or 4 of them last year, including the first one against San Diego. So maybe Braun's on his way back a little bit, but .254 with a .782 OPS, lower, one of the lowest points in his career. He's got to give you more than that. If he can get that thing up to about .270, bring it up about 17 points, get you to about .270 and go from, what, 20 home runs to maybe 26, 27?
Well, the other
thing, a hell of a year.
The other thing, too, about Braun that really killed him last year, he would really square up on a lot of balls, but they would go right to the fielders.
He hit a lot of balls in the screws last year.
He could not catch a break in that regard. And again, that's why he's trying to do some things different with his swing, and he's working with coaches on that. He wants help with that because he had a lot of bad beats last year.
We'll see. I know that in that Chicago series specifically, he was like three for 12 or something like that in the Chicago series, but he hit like 5 rockets that ended up getting snagged. One of them was, I think it was Schwarber that caught one against the wall, jumping against the wall in Wrigley. And then the other one was one to dead center field, too, that ended up getting snagged down. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Marquette is becoming the talk of the basketball town. And how far can they go in this tournament? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are on board today. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. And at Quick Trip, they have the Quick Rewards card. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. That is quicktrip.com. And if you get the Quick Rewards card now, your first fill-up with the Quick Rewards card can give you 10 cents off per gallon of fuel up to 30 gallons. So that gives you incentive alone to go in and get the Quick Rewards card. It doesn't cost you anything. Just go get it. Then every time you purchase something, just swipe and go, and then you build up points, and who knows, before you know it, all of a sudden you're getting some more cents off of gallons of fuel, and you're getting like free burgers and sandwiches, and it's fantastic. Every now and then I'll swipe that thing every time I go in there, and every now and then they'll say, hey, this is free. Do you want that? Sure. If it's free, it's for me. I'll take it. Stop into Quick Trip today. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. That is quicktrip.com. So a lot of the talk right now, in college hoops, at least in this area, we'll say, is about Wisconsin and Marquette. Marquette, when you look right now at what Marquette has done, I mean, everybody circle next Wednesday night, taking on Villanova for the top spot in the Big East. You know, I mean, if they win the Big East, then the Big East is a little bit down. Okay, I think we can all agree upon that. But because once you get past Villanova and Marquette, it's kind of a snoozer. But Villanova's a top dog. If you end up with 2 wins over Villanova and winning the Big East, that's saying something. The Golden Eagles right now, 21-4 on the season. Only one loss at the Fiserv Forum, 5-2 on the road. And when you look at the overall record of 21-4, 15-1 in conference, 10-2 in conference, they've been extremely solid. Extremely solid. They can hit from the outside. They've got good boards inside, good height, can move the basketball. And you're starting to watch some of these college basketball shows, and they're being picked as a 3 seed right now. We had Jerry Palm from CBS Sports on yesterday, and they're really noticing what Wojo's got going on. So I watched last night. ESPN had their bracketology people on, and I was flipping through, and Fox Sports had their guys on. And there's some that are saying, Marquette, if you're going to pick a sleeper to make it to the Final Four, Marquette is your sleeper. My question is, do you buy that? And Marquette Golden Eagle fans, you can chime in on this. I'm sure you're buying it because you've seen them up close and personal. But if you are an outsider looking in with the way Marquette has played, the style of basketball, I mean, they play a hell of a style of basketball, too. They're up and down the floor. They got a lot of transition. They can move. They're not your half court, slow it down. This ain't your grandfather's basketball. This isn't Hoosiers here. They're one pop and go. I mean, for years we talked about a team that couldn't hit from the outside. Now they can hit from all over the court. So here's my question. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid that Marquette could be a Final Four team? See, I say yes because it only takes a team to get hot and get a couple of wins. Okay, if it's a seven-game series against some of these other teams, maybe not. But you get to the tournament, anything can happen. Yeah, I believe they could be a Final Four team. Now, I know they're in it to win the Big East tournament. That's what their goal. That's what their goal is. It's almost like, though, you'd wish they wouldn't. So you get out maybe a couple of days early, you get some extra rest, and get yourself ready for the NCAA tournament. Because sometimes the conference tournament can just take it out of you. You battle, you just kind of run on fumes by the time you get to the NCAA tournament. But the question is, do you believe that Marquette can be a Final Four team? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Do you think Marquette could be a Final Four team? Keith says, no way. I think they're going to be a good team, maybe a Sweet 16. But I think after the Elite Eight, they are eliminated. I don't think it's going to be a Final Four year for them, but it's a tremendous season nonetheless. Jace says, I really like what I'm seeing out of Marquette so far. I think they're only going to get better. Howard is a beast. Yes, you can ride one guy to the Final Four. Oh, I agree. I think you can ride a guy. You have to have some good role players, but yes, I agree. You can ride a guy to the Final Four. Completely agree with that. You get hot, why not? Plus, a lot of it depends on the draw. A lot of it depends on the draw you get in the bracket you come out of. You know, what region you come out of. 855-830-8648. Mr. Point. Which I assume that's Stevens Point, I don't know. But Mr. Point says, I'm a believer in Marquette. I've watched them progress over the season. I've been to two games down at the Fiserv. By the way, love Fiserv Forum. It is a premier basketball arena and a top 10 stadium in the country. This is going to be the crown jewel of Wisconsin for some time to come. He then goes on to say, Wojo's done a fantastic job of recruiting guys away from Wisconsin and still keeping them here in our own backyard. Yes, this is a team to be reckoned with. They can make it to the Final Four. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Russ says no, not yet. I think they're good. They're not great. Final Four teams usually are great. Albeit, you know what? We've seen teams that have been good, really good teams that got hot at the right time. It happens, especially if you start to win on that weekend. So, yeah, I think they can be a Final Four team. Not that I'm drinking a Kool-Aid saying they are. I mean, if I'm going to go bet my house, I'm going to bet my house that they probably won't be, but because it's just so hard to get to. But would it knock me over with a feather if they did? Hell no. They're a good basketball team. Really good basketball team. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Are you drinking a Kool-Aid? Are you drinking a Kool-Aid? Hey, Bill, what do you think of DePaul? As a DePaul grad, I think they're on the come. Finally starting to play some good basketball. Maybe they're going to have some luster restored to the DePaul name. DePaul has played pretty well this year. I'm not going to knock DePaul. DePaul has played pretty well this year. They've played, I'm not going to say better than expected, but DePaul's been such a doormat for years and years and years, and they're finally starting to kind of turn that thing around. DePaul, they're 5-8. Okay, they're sub 500, but they're 13-11 overall, and they've given just about everybody fits. So DePaul's finally starting to make a little bit of a name for itself, albeit in the last, what was it? God, 7 or 8 games. I think they've won 3. You know, they ended up beating Seton Hall. They lost by 10 to Marquette. Providence nipped them. They were on the road. Providence nipped them. You know who they played tough? They played Villanova tough. They lost the game, but they played Villanova tough. Then ended up bouncing back and beating Providence. Xavier's not, you know, because somebody just tweeted and said, what about Xavier? Xavier's nowhere near as good as they were last year. Nowhere near as good. They lost their head coach. He ended up going to Louisville. They lost some of their big men on the inside. That's a far cry from what they were just a year ago in the tournament. DePaul gave Marquette all they wanted. They only lost by 9, if I'm not mistaken. So, and they ended up losing to Butler. They've got Creighton, Georgetown, St. John's, and then Georgetown and Creighton again on the docket. A couple of double up right there with St. John's thrown in the middle. But I like the direction DePaul is headed. I really do. 855-830-8648. When we come back, I'm going to talk some Bucks basketball. Eric Name of The Athletic, he's going to be joining us as the Bucks get ready to tip it off tomorrow night, and they don't come out of the chute easy. They've got the Boston Celtics on tap. Don't forget, coming up tonight, George Hill is going to be our guest at the Garage on the east side of town, east side of Milwaukee. Steve Novak, yours truly. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, 6 to 7 tonight on many of these same stations. Really looking forward to that. So we'll talk to Eric Name. How many wins does he expect from this Bucks team as they round out the end of the season with 25 games remaining and 43 wins already notched in their belt? We'll talk to Eric about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
My lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We're glad to have you. Talking some Bucks basketball. Going to do that momentarily. Eric Name of The Athletic going to be joining us. Hey, my friends out at Van Horn. Van Horn Auto, that's where I went. I was looking for a car. I thought after years and years and years of driving SUVs, maybe I'll go buy myself a car, be a little bit easier on gas and as much traveling as I do. And I'm not traveling around in planes and helicopters or anything like that. I mean, I'm doing a lot of driving with all of our affiliates. And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I thought, maybe I'll go with a car. Well, I went for a luxury car, and I ended up buying a luxury car wrapped in a pickup truck. I got the Dodge Ram 1500. And the 90-day test drive proved to be great. The experience with Van Horn Automotive was fantastic. And I went to the truck center in Plymouth. But you can go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. See all the cars that qualify. And go check one out for yourself. It's exactly the way it sounds. Take it for 90 days. If you love it, great. Keep it. You can get up to $2,000 off. If you don't, bring it back. No further commitment. No questions asked. How are we looking? They're confident. That's what they do. It's exclusive over at Van Horn Auto. Go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. And they treat you really well. The service departments are fantastic. And they're all over the state of Wisconsin and literally beyond the borders with 16 dealerships. They can take care of you anywhere, anyplace, anytime. Domestic or import, doesn't matter the make of the model. They've got somebody for everybody. So make sure you stop in and check out Van Horn Auto. Go to vanhornauto.com. That's vanhornauto.com. Eric Name of The Athletic joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Eric, we were sitting here talking a little earlier about the win total for the Milwaukee Bucks. 25 games to go, 43 wins notched in their belt already. Is there a level of expectation that you're looking towards to say, okay, this, now that they've set the bar, this is where they should be?
Yeah, I think it's kind of tough to think through exactly how good this team can be because I've been wrong about it the entire year, if I'm being totally frank. You know, you start out at the beginning of the year, and I said, well, you know, this is the 50-win team, and I felt pretty confident in that, and, well, they might have 50 wins in, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. So this season has been a spot where you just keep ratcheting up the expectations, and I don't know if we know exactly how high to go on that. I mean, I think by the end of the year, 17 more wins would get them to 60, so 17 and 8 That would be a close to .666 win percentage. Mm-hmm. So you look through that. Okay, maybe that's the standard, but also that would be worse than they've played thus far this season. So I think that the tough part is really trying to figure out just how high you put those standards. And you know, I think by the end of the season, you're in some ways kind of judging this based on everyone else in the East. That right now at the All-Star break, the Bucks are 43-14. The Raptors are two down in the loss column at 43-16. So you have a game plus another game because the Bucks own the tiebreaker there. So really, it's just about keeping pace and being better than the rest of the teams in the East. The Celtics and the Sixers are supposed to be big concerns for the Bucks. Obviously, the Celtics in town tomorrow night, but well, there's 6.5 games back of the Bucks, and the Bucks have a chance to take the tiebreaker from the Celtics tomorrow night as well. So, really, it's hard to have, for me, a real great look at expectations. But you know, maybe it is as high as 65 wins. Maybe it is that high. It's just really tough to figure out just how good this team can be because they've been on an absolute tear for the 2 months before the All-Star break.
So, and that was going to be my next question. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and last week, as a matter of fact, going into the weekend, it was kind of, it was good because you know the team needs a rest. On the other hand, you hated to slow down the momentum because they were just rolling. When we talked to Pat Connaughton a couple of weeks ago, he said, look, our goal is not, you know, to just get wins. Our goal is to win the East total and have the best record. They want home court advantage. They've got the feeling now that the Fiserv Forum is almost their lair of invincibility, don't you think?
They really do. I'm trying to. It's funny, after games, you know, I always make the walk from my seats in the press area down to Mike Boonholzer's post-game press conference, and you know, I've struggled to even remember the times that I heard Bob Marley playing because that's the song that they play when they lose. And, I mean, you just don't hear it this year. This is a team that truly believes that they should win every game. And the funny thing is it's not just home and road. I still think back to before the All-Star break when they dropped a couple on the road and they're just like, that's unacceptable. We should win every game on the road. And, you know, you're used to hearing that about how teams play at home, that you know, our home court, we don't lose here. That's what people say, but it's weird to hear it about going on the road, and that's truly where this team is at from a confidence standpoint. And I think even with, you know, maybe breaking up the momentum there a little bit, I think they'll hope that's recharging the batteries and that they can keep it moving here after the All-Star break.
So Joe and I were sitting here talking about this team and how deep they can possibly go. Let's just say they do get to the Eastern Conference Finals, or dare I say into the NBA Finals. And he was saying, you know, most likely at that point in time, then that means Chris Middleton has really begun to come on. And my point was, look, they've got the best record in the NBA, and that's been with a kind of an up-and-down Chris Middleton this season. So what has to happen, in your opinion, for this team to get – we'll just start with the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't want to get too far out of our skis here. But what happens for this team – what needs to happen for this team to get that far?
The funny thing is, I don't think they have to do all that much different than what they're doing right now, but that is different than last year. The big thing for this team last year was you go into that first-round playoff series, and that was a series I predicted the Bucks were going to win, and I thought that was the case because of the talent that they had on this roster. And then all of a sudden, Terry Rozier outplays Eric Bledsoe, and Eric Bledsoe looks like a shell of himself in the playoffs. So to me, that's kind of the question that lingers over this whole season, is what's going to happen when all of those guys get to the playoffs. And obviously it starts with Eric Bledsoe because of his struggles last year. But you know, you think back to 2 years ago, Middleton had a little bit of a down series against the Raptors. And it's like, okay, well, is that the Chris Middleton that's going to show up? Or is it the Chris Middleton that was a human flamethrower against the Celtics? So, you know, the big thing about everyone talking about, oh, the Bucks don't have a true number two, that doesn't matter until it matters. So, you know, if you're going to play the exact same way in the postseason as you did in the regular season, then it's not a big deal. Then they can win on their depth. They can win on having a 2-7 that is stronger than anyone else's 2-7. But for now, that's going to be the question that lingers, the question that we really struggled to answer now is, can they do this again in the postseason, or do some of those postseason struggles that Bledsoe and Middleton have had, Brogdon had a down playoff series last year against the Celtics as well, Brooke Lopez hasn't played a ton of meaningful games in the postseason. Do all those guys falter in some way, and does that have a huge impact on this team?
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Now we've gone 4 minutes into talking about this, but we have not mentioned Mirotić. So do you expect him back against the Celtics tomorrow night?
I do. You know, like I told you last week, I thought he probably could have played the second he got traded here, but they just wanted to be extra cautious with him. And honestly, today I'm about to walk into availability after practice here in a few minutes, and, well, this is the first practice Mirotić has been a part of. But there's been shoot-arounds, and there's been individual workouts, and those are all fine and good. And he spent his time over the All-Star break here in Milwaukee getting accustomed to the system, working with the assistant coaches. So he did all of those things, but that's not the same as practice. So this will be the first practice that he'll have, and there's still going to be some level of adjustment. But, yeah, I expect that he will play tomorrow against the Boston Celtics, and I think that's going to be one of the exciting things for this team. And, you know, maybe that'll be something that'll invigorate them. Maybe they're not feeling a ton of challenges from teams on the floor. And one of the challenges that they have over the next 25 games is integrating a new player into their system, and a player that can potentially give them even more options in the playoffs, give you another way to play. Maybe you take Lopez off the floor, put Mirotić in there. Maybe you put Mirotić and Ersan Ilyasova in there. Maybe Mirotić is someone that really helps the second units when Giannis isn't off the floor offensively. So there's a lot of things that he can do, a lot of different options that it gives you, and that could be huge for this team in the playoffs and throughout the rest of this season. So I would agree, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch, just seeing how he integrates himself into the system and how they try to get him to fit into different lineup combinations, and how he tries to work with different players.
The Mirotić factor, and I wanted to ask you about this because he seems like he's very anxious, just from everything that I've heard. He can't wait to kind of get into the mix with these guys. And everything seems outwardly anyway as if they really kind of like him. Have the personalities meshed, and do you experience or do you expect any experience in, say, a hiccup in chemistry?
I don't. It's funny that I got to cover, a Brewers postseason before moving over here to The Athletic because, you know, I just remember how that Brewers team, ironically enough, came together in September. And it just felt like, man, this is the loosest locker room I've ever been a part of, obviously a clubhouse for baseball. But, you know, that's the loosest team I've been around, you know, just so focused but also having a great time. And then, you know, I get to be a part of this Bucks season and cover this Bucks season, and they feel even looser. They feel even more confident. So I think they're obviously, you're going to have to get to know each other, and you're going to have to try to find a way through all of this. But Mirotić is a pretty fun-loving guy. He likes to crack some jokes. He's been, anytime we've talked to him thus far, he's really had a good time with us. So I think he'll end up having a good time with his teammates here. And, you know, obviously winning makes everything easier, but, you know, as long as those wins keep rolling in, even if there are some hiccups and, you know, some struggles fitting him into everything, I think ultimately he'll get around and he'll get through it, and they'll get through it. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the year, they'll have another guy that they really trust and they really like.
Before I let you go, I know Budenholzer, he wanted to get away, but he ended up coaching the All-Star game. So how tough is it for guys that ended up taking part in that weekend that really didn't get a chance to get away from the game?
It's interesting because I honestly didn't think it would be a big deal. I remember after Giannis's first All-Star game, talking to him about a week after, I think it was their first home game, and after it, he was just talking about, like, my legs, man. My legs are still not fresh. I didn't take that time off. It didn't feel like time off. It felt like, you know, I worked all the way through the All-Star break. And, you know, last year I remember talking to him after the break, and he said, yeah, I got a little bit better at it this year and managed to stay off my feet a little bit more. And I thought, obviously, those two, you know, interactions kind of colored what I thought I heard from him before the All-Star break, where he's like, I'm not going to do anything other than, you know, the things that I have to do. I got to do a practice on Saturday. I'll do that. I got to play the game on Sunday. I'll do that. Then after that, I'm going to be on the couch. I'm going to be sleeping. I'm going to be making sure that I get my body that rest. So I think, you know, you may see that pop up a little bit more for a guy like Chris Middleton, who hasn't done that before, who hasn't had the rigor of All-Star weekend, which, again, I understand they don't play particularly hard, but it is time that rather than being on vacation, rather than being able to get off your feet, you are still going. So I think maybe you'll see with Middleton a little bit more, but I think by this point, Giannis has kind of figured out how to get through all of that, how to rest himself, and how to figure out a way not to work all that much during All-Star break.
Eric, always good to chat with you, buddy. We will talk again next week, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, George Hill coming on the program tonight if you're going to be taking a listen.
Oh, I can do that.
There you go. All right. Just thought I'd throw it out there just to do your job for you. There you go. That's Eric Name of The Athletic joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. And, yeah, George Hill tonight joining myself, Steve Novak. We're going to be at the garage on the east side over there by Hi Hat. Come on by 6 to 7 tonight. Should be a good one. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Looking forward to it. Hey, we live in Wisconsin, and one of the things that bugs me here in Wisconsin is that there are people who think ethanol is bad. Listen up. I know you may be rolling your eyes. Hang on. It comes from corn. Wisconsin farmers grow a massive amount of corn. We all know that. Wisconsin workers operate 7 Wisconsin Biofuels Association ethanol plants right here in Wisconsin. That's Wisconsin workers, my friend. Live here, eat here, breathe here, die here, pay taxes here, go to games here, cheer for the same teams you do here. Living in Wisconsin and being against ethanol, it's kind of like going to Texas and being against big oil or Texas cattle or not eating steak, for God's sakes. You got to fill your car up with some kind of fuel. Why not support the Wisconsin home team? E85 goes in all the flex fuel vehicles. If your car is a flex fuel vehicle, it's going to say it on the back. Or you can look it up online. E15, which is called unleaded 88 at the pump, that's a higher octane, it burns cleaner, and it saves you money. E15 is safer for any car built after 2001. It's a Wisconsin thing. Be proud of it. Ethanol is a home team product in Wisconsin, and I am always pulling for the home team. You know that. As always, this is brought to you by our good friends at the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org, and get the information and the actual facts. Coming up next, he's a nut. More of the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We're glad you are on board today. Thanks for taking a listen to us. He's got mad skills. I've said that before. Mad skills. But the guy's a nut. He's a nut. Antonio Brown. Tremendous wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they have agreed, along with him, to move on and figure out a way to get him out of Pittsburgh. But he says, hey, look, if you got a lot of money, call me.
If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them call me.
By the way, this is from his Instagram account. So, if you got money, call me. He wants, by the way, all his money guaranteed. He wants a Kirk Cousins type of deal. So, not only do you trade for him and then give up whatever it is you're giving up, but then in addition to that, you have to figure out a contract to make him happy, and it's all got to be guaranteed. So he said, hey, I want my money, but I want a team that's hungry for a wide receiver. Call me.
If your squad out there want to win and your squad want a hungry wide receiver, who the best in the whole world, tell him to hit my phone. Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more. But it's NFL, you heard?
Doesn't he sound like Mike Tyson?
He does, and he's got the same attitude Le'Veon Bell does. I want the money before I play again. So he is not doing himself. He's due $20-something million this year. Pittsburgh's going to eat a lot of that. So you could get him on the cheap, but he said he's not going to take the field unless he's got guaranteed money. He's got a new contract and guaranteed money. I mean, he is doing nothing but handcuffing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nothing but doing that. He says, here's another cautionary tale. I'm Antonio Brown. Look how great I am. What is left for me to do?
I think I done everything. What y'all think? What left for me to do? Win the Super Bowl? Hey, got to be the right team for that.
Got to be the right team for that. I've already done everything. Do you want this guy on your team? Do you want this, the most incredibly, I shouldn't say the most because I've run across a lot of selfish players, but an incredibly selfish player. I know you got to go out and get yours, and if you've got mad skills, you got more leverage, but this guy, he's a banana. Said, ready to go, 36 rounds.
I got a lot of fuel, bro, built up. So when this fuel turn to smoke, hope you in shape. Hope you ready to go the distance. Because I'm telling you, I'm ready to go 36 rounds like a heavyweight, you heard?
What? He's got fuel that when it turns to smoke, you better be ready to go. Because like a heavyweight, he's ready to go 36 rounds. That's like when Mike Tyson was going to get out of the boxing ring and go fade off into Bolivian. You went, what? Antonio Brown's a nut.
As we're playing this, Colin Cowherd suggesting that the Packers should go after him.
Yeah, he's a nut.
Everyone's saying that the Packers should go after Antonio Brown, but after what I heard last week from Jim Colony, who covers this, I can't have this guy on the team.
I don't want to guarantee money to a wide receiver. I don't want to guarantee that $90 to $100 million to a wide receiver. There's no way. More of the Bill Michael Show to come after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.